Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Scott, who is here to assist us with preparing to celebrate the International Day of No Self-Hate on April 18th. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, Jen. I'm smiling huge as a celebration.
Smiling already.
Yeah.
Best day of the year, right? Yeah. You know, it's funny, I was thinking, April 18th being the guide's birthday, and so a day when, as Sangha, to the best of our ability, we each give the world the gift of living the day without, truly without self-hatred. And, you know, anyone who's practiced awareness for any length of time knows the enormous challenge that that actually is to do. And so I was thinking how perfect to thank you for generously being willing to be on and to talk about the practical application and kind of how that looks, because, you know, it's one thing to say, yeah, you know, we're practicing to go beyond self-hate, and even to set aside a day in particular, which I just find so helpful, something very tangible to say, okay, we're doing it, you know, as a whole Sangha today, there's no self-hate, but to get to spend a few minutes really looking at what does that look like? What are the practical applications of that?
Yeah. Well, they're huge in so many in so many ways, and so you know where I live, and so I was looking at the practical applications of living at the monastery and stewarding some of the projects here, and I mean it's something I'm sure everyone can relate to, but there's something in front of you, you know, like a big cleaning project, or you're going to build something, or maybe taxes this time of year, and for me it was like. There are all these building materials that we needed to decide, what are we going to do with them? Some of them we're going to keep. Some of them we're going to see if Habitat will take. Some of them, you know, some of the lumber that we can't use, we're going to see if we can take that to yard waste. And, you know, I think the first step about going beyond self-hate is to know that you're in it. Because it can be really difficult to know because it just all sort of feels real when you're identified, you know, until you step out, it's like, oh, I was, you know, and so for me, and this is where recording and listening can come in too, is just to remind myself of those telltale signs. And one of them is I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with anything. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a huge project. And the other thing that I know when I'm in self-hate is self-hate is always talking to a younger aspect of ego. And so there's a reason why I feel overwhelmed, because there's a little person who's being asked to do things that there's no way they know how to sort through these different pieces of lumber and decide if they're which one's good and which one's not. Or
way beyond
all through. Way beyond what you would ask a little kid to do. Or, you know, one of my telltale signs is it's all up to me. I've got to do it all, which, of course, can feel really overwhelming. And, you know, everything just constricts, the breathing gets short, there's tension, and then ultimately there's some kind of coping, which often is, I'll do it later, you know, some kind of procrastination.
Yeah, right, procrastination. Yeah, because it's going to be better later, I'm sure.
Completely, because it's all about the thing, and when I come back to the thing next time, and not getting that has nothing to do with, you know, this pile of construction materials or the taxes or the cleaning, it's about where is the attention? Because we'll know that sometimes we actually really enjoy cleaning and sometimes it feels miserable. So, you know, what is the difference? And so for me, it's helpful to really get clear about, for me, how do I know that I'm in, what are the telltale signs that I'm in self-hatred? Because until you know that, there's nothing you can do about it, really, you know.
Oh my gosh, Scott, I just absolutely love that. And what I just saw was, well, how lovely that we're having this interview on the 16th, because I think for myself, I'm going to start getting ready. And I just love that's the first step. You just laid it out for us. So in order for me to have my best shot at success on the 18th, I'm going to start my little list. What are the warnings? How am I going to know that I'm in self-hate? And so, I mean, I'll just bet that everything that's on your list is going to be on my list, is going to be on everyone's list, right? So overwhelm, it's all up to me, a sense of feeling bad, you know, all those things that we know, okay, there's got to be self-hatred close by here. So I love that. So starting with making your little list of what are the warning signs? How do we know we're in it?
Yeah, and it can be sometimes the reaction for me when it's all up to me is, oh, yeah, well, I've got this. You know, I'm going to do this. And it can be actually what I refer to as I'm a Enneatype 2 on the Enneagram, and twos under stress go to 8. And so they get kind of what I would call kind of controlling and demanding.
Right.
And so it I've may look that. Like, okay, I've got a bunch of energy to do this now, but usually that is running roughshod, and it's not, I'm not communicating, and I'm stepping on other people's toes, and it also is a form of self-hatred.
Oh, gosh. So there are gross forms, the forms maybe we tend to hang out on more, but then there are the parts that are more subtle to us. Maybe we're not as much in them, or they're not as obviously self-hate, and so begin to tease those out as well.
Yeah. And, you know, the beautiful thing as I'm talking, Jen, is just being aware of kind of what are the telltale signs for us that we're in self-hate. As soon as awareness picks that up, that you're moving out of it. You know, there's the disidentification begin to happen. And so, you know, then you can start to feel the difference. You know, the energy returns, the shoulders drop, the awareness expands. I noticed that, deep breaths. You know, like that feels good. You know, I just can really feel it in the body, that movement.
Yeah, well, and that was another thing you said, is that when you're in it, that there are signs in the body too. There's that tension, there's that tightness. And so even just in being aware of it, it sounds like what you're saying is you see it, and so you can begin to, oh, right, breathe. Okay, it's all right. So there's some reassurance that starts to come in with it.
Yeah, that's interesting when you're just reflecting that back. As the body expands and the energy starts to move through, because self-hatred is all about locking up. So for me, in terms of the practical implications, if I've got a big project and I'm in self-hate, it's going nowhere. I'm stuck. And then, of course, I'm just going to get hated for not doing it and putting it off.
That's right.
Every time I look at it, I'm back in a conversation, and I can't go anywhere. Everything is locked up. And so the disidentification in the body, there's the movement, there's the release, and now life can live the person, you know, and then all of a sudden that same pile looks completely different. And, you know, it's also really great to have people around that you can, you know, model after and inspire and, you know, that'll assist you, which I had some assistance to kind of get going on this particular project. But it's like all of a sudden that wood pile looks completely different, you know, and then I feel kind of like an adult show up that has done things like this lots of times and knows that any big project is done step by step. You do one thing and then the next thing. Like, I've had that experience over and over again, but that's not available when I'm in self-hatred at all.
That's such a good point. So, you know, we hear over and over again in practice, we're all adequate to our lives. But when we're in that self-hatred, at least, you know, in my experience, that seems like a platitude. Yeah, well, that's nice. But, I mean, look at this gigantic pile of whatever, and I have no idea what to do with it. Because there's no access to the, actually, you know what, I've done it lots of times, things very similar to this.
Yeah.
And I completely, there is a way through, and that when you begin to let go of the self-hatred, that way becomes clear. And it's not a poof, suddenly the pile is gone, which is what the conditioning would say, right? But that it's a step-by-step process. And outside of the self-hatred, there's all the time and patience and attention and even love for that process.
Complete love. And that process begins to develop momentum. And it'd be interesting if there was, like, I don't know if there's been biological studies on what happens to brain functioning when attention's on self-hatred. But what I find is there's actually a lot of information that's available to me that I've had experience with, that people have showed me in this particular case, about how to look at a board and know if it's something we can use to build again or not. But somehow when I was in self-hatred, I couldn't even see the board. It was just this like big, almost like a monster. And all of a sudden, when that gets dropped, I show up to the board, and then here comes that information just dropping in. You know, I'm looking for crowns. I'm looking for bends in the board. I'm looking to see if there's any rot there. And it's like, oh, life knows how to do this.
Yeah.
It just has to, you just have to let, the self-hate has to be dropped in order for that information that's already there to arrive in consciousness.
It's so true. And I don't know if this is your experience, Scott, but as you're saying that, one of the things that I've seen too, for me, that's been critical in my sort of journey, if you will, of going beyond self-hate, is that there's a place where it has to be completely all right that I feel like a, quote, failure doing this project.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So in other words, if I go for days and I can't see the board, and I can't seem to get to that clarity, and I can't seem to get to the place where, oh, yeah, I can see the steps, that has to be completely okay. Completely all right.
Yeah. And that mentoring that you're describing is where recording and listening can really help. Because, you know, it tried to get me right back in it. Like, well, why did, you know, look at some of these boards. If you would have started this earlier, they would have been in better, you know, and then you had to have somebody else come, you know, it started in that track. And because of the training we all do in Sangha with practice, it's like, I'm from that more expanded, I know what that is. I know that's putting me, going to put me right back into the trap. And, you know, you pull out the recorder, say that stuff out loud so you know what, you know, the voices are saying this. And then the mentor comes in exactly with that. It's completely okay. We're here now.
Yeah.
Let's do this together. Yeah. You know, we can ask for help. You know, we can do whatever we need to do, but it's completely okay however it was and however it is now. And again, there's the expansion, there's the relaxation. And then again, the next step just drops in. You know, you took a look at the wood, like, this thing is beautiful. You know, the relationship with everything that's living around us now comes into view when it's not on a pinpoint of, you know, the windows that we had there. It's like, wow, think about, you know, the people who use those over time and how they let all that light and beauty in. You know, it's like those windows that were like, oh, windows, are like, oh, those windows, you know.
Exactly.
Same windows. Yeah. So practically, you know, there it is. It's all available. And, you know, things are getting taken care of, and including, by most importantly, the human being.
Exactly. Because it really all does come from there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It all, I mean, what you're describing is, it's why, you know, inner peace, world peace, right? Because how we are with ourselves really is how the whole world becomes. I mean, it truly, it's all one thing, one process.
And we can really see that here. We're looking at that same task, and we watch the transformation. Now the task looks completely different. Well, how did that happen?
Because
the task is the same. You know, those boards are the same, but the transformation internally now changes everything outside of us.
So I just want to, because you just put it so succinctly, you know, to reflect the steps for all of us, should we choose to take it on in a couple of days, that sounds like our prep work is to begin to get clear on what are the signs that I'm in self-hate. So what's the conversation? What am I feeling in my body? What are the emotions? You know, you talked about the overwhelm, the tightness, the all up to me, the maybe even some of the behaviors, you know, that kind of, okay, I'm going to take charge here. And so really, for each of us, starting to get clear on that, and then as those things come up, really practicing just relaxing into it, just letting go, breathing into the body, you know, reassurance, it's all right. A big one for me is you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. It's okay. You know, just kind of that reassurance. And then the recording and listening, as you say, it's such a huge part of it, really being there with the human. Because it's a huge thing. I mean, I suspect, seriously, if people choose to take it on Thursday, what you're going to find is it's a giant challenge, even for 24 hours, to truly live outside of self-hate. And I think it's really powerful for us to come face-to-face with how challenging that is, and also to see the power that it has for us and for the entire world, that one act.
Oof. Oh, my gosh. I just had this image of, like, a big piece of the big light just dropping on Earth and then just vibrating out over the surface of the Earth.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, so fun. Thank you so much for being with us to give it. You know, we've been talking a lot, especially in the year-long retreat, but, you know, the specifics of things are really the portal into looking directly at what we're talking about instead of staying up in our heads about it, to get to really look at the practical. That's so, so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the invitation. That was fun.
Mm. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Scott, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the monastery. Welcome, Jen.
Fun to be here, Michael. Thank you.
Great. And
Sherry and Ashwini are, of course, in North Carolina in group as we speak, so that's why Sherry couldn't be with us. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, very exciting. And we can join them in the morning for the sit.
That's exactly right. 4:30 for us.
Yes. 4:30 Pacific time.
4:30 a.m. Pacific time. Yep.
Yes. And I enjoyed your conversation with Scott, and it especially landed when you talked about how it has to be completely okay that I am in the self-hate for as long as I'm in it. And so what I got from that was just an incredible sense of acceptance, of embracing, and the unconditional love that comes from.
And, you know, Michael, thank you for reflecting that, because what I just saw was that's what makes our task on the 18th doable. Because what it means is, you know, I just sort of pictured a little bit of performance anxiety, right? Like, oh, God, here comes April 18th. I got to make sure I don't have any self-hate, which is absolutely impossible, right? Because, of course, the self-hate is just going to be, oh, just rubbing its imaginary little hands together going, ooh, this is perfect. Yes. Oh, yeah, no self-hate for you on Thursday, right? And then it's just going to pile it on. But if my task is not to make sure I don't have self-hate, but in fact to embrace everything in acceptance, which is a process of acceptance, not self-hate, it's completely doable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And very inspiring, as I hear you say it, because I know the courage that's required for that, and I know the impact that has on me, that unconditional acceptance, and how that ripples out to everyone and everything.
I mean, I think every one of our heroes, that's basically the process they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I absolutely love it. I really, really do, because I just feel like it is such a gift, and it's so perfect that it falls on, you know, the birthday, and that it's a gift that we're giving. And, of course, we're the biggest recipient of it when we give it.
Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah. So. Wonderful. I'll look forward to that on Thursday.
Me too.
And I have announcements here, Jen.
Great.
So, for the first time, everyone is invited to participate in a special virtual Sit with Sangha and be part of the North Carolina retreat, no matter where you are. Now through this Friday, April 19th, the first meditation period of the morning will be broadcast live. To join live broadcasts at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time, simply use the regular virtual meditation group's call-in number, which can be found on the virtual meditation group's webpage at livingcompassion.org.
Very fun.
And starting next week, a six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative. The new class begins April 24th.
And what's the deadline to sign up for that? Do you know, Michael?
I do not know that.
Okay.
Yeah, if I get that information, I'll let you know.
It's so huge. I was thinking about that. I think it was just this morning on the radio show that Sherry was talking to someone. And, you know, they were talking about being in a lot of self-hatred, actually. And she was talking about how invariably, you know, the first thing she'll ask someone when they're having a lot of self-hate go on is, do you have essentially a robust recording and listening practice? And usually someone will say no at that point. And I think what she was pointing at is, we're asking ourselves an impossible task to go beyond self-hate without really solid tools, and recording and listening being the foundation of that. And so I just really encourage people to, you know, it's a perfect time, actually, as we do the International Day of No Self-Hate, to just say, you know, plant our flag and say, you're right, I'm doing that. You know, I'm going to, even if I have a recording and listening practice, I'm going to, you know, up my game here. I'm going to give myself the gift of really coming together with Sangha and, you know, honing those skills and really learning from other people's practice and getting that support. So just a ton of encouragement around that one.
Great, great. And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, May 4th through 11th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
And it is so beautiful. Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous right now at the monastery.
Oh, great. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Journey through the poems of the great mystics at a brand new retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in May. The Blessed is the Knowledge of Emptiness retreat offers an opportunity to have your own direct experience of the divine shining through. This retreat, May 27th through June 1st, includes guidance with Sherry and is for those with an established awareness practice.
Really looking forward to that. Wow. Talk about a beautiful retreat in a beautiful setting. Mm.
Yeah, a beautiful time of the year, too.
Yeah.
And for these and other opportunities, including two foundational There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats, visit livingcompassion.org.
And Michael, just before we get started, I got some intel that the deadline for that recording and listening class is actually this week.
This week.
Yeah, it's Thursday by 5 p.m.
Thursday by 5 p.m.
So perfect. I mean, yes, International Day of Self-Hate, everyone, we should all sign up.
we should flood
that class with. Yeah.
Yes.
So that the deadline is Thursday. So, yeah.
Okay, great. And if you'd like to talk with Jen today, please press *6 and then 1. That's how you make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes that's focused on one topic is great. Okay, Jen, I think we are ready here.
Perfect.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Andrew from North Carolina.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
How are you guys tonight?
Excellent. And you?
Very, very good. That good news update did me a world of good. I was laughing out loud at how it's so similar. I mean, I basically don't need to ask a question now, right? I mean, that was exactly what I was going to call about. Just kind of seemed to come up very serendipitously. I've been noticing a lot of tension in my upper body while I'm at work, and it was really intense and scary last week. And then in trying to practice more awareness, instead of kind of, it was pointed out to me by someone that I was probably getting into, looked like getting into trying to use you know, I don't even want to call it practice because it is like pseudo practice to try to make this reaction that I was having to work and this fear-based reaction go away. And just kind of signing up for, let me not do that. You know, let me not treat the human that way and treat spirituality that way. It's like, that's not how I want to be. That's not how I want to think of it as a tool to get results. Besides, it doesn't work. I didn't get the result I wanted anyway.
Right. So it sounds like from what you're describing, Andrew, that those, that set of sensations kind of in the chest and that were related to fear that was coming up at your job.
Well, and really, I mean, self-hate says it too, right? Is I'm not good enough, I don't know and I should know, this is gonna be bad, you know, it's all very related.
Yes And then sort of realizing that there was a probably it can be settled. I don't know if it was settled in your case, but a sense of kind of, I don't really want to feel that way. And so let me try to change that experience and realizing, there's another possibility here. I could be with the experience because in that wanting to change it, which can be settled because, you know, in awareness practice, we do talk about shifting the attention, right, away from self-hatred. But it sounds like what you're describing is realizing that that can also be a subtle way of saying to, in this case, Andrew, it's not okay to feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. Let's stop feeling that. Feel something else, you know, be a different way. And realizing that there was sort of this other way to be with it where you could be with the experience and not need to change it, but maybe not necessarily believe the stories that were going along with it.
Yes. Because it did take me a while. You're right. It was subtle, and it took me quite a while to get away from how there was a problem with this physical set of sensations. You know, it really seemed like that was not only a problem, it was the problem, you know. And one thing that was I lost it. Anyway, maybe when I listen back to Open Ear, something was coming up. But I'm just really glad to know I'm not the only one and that there's something else to focus on instead of, getting into problems and changing and fixing.
And so I'm curious, when you realized that there was another way to be with it, did that shift the experience at all?
It did. And there was still this, it was somewhat subtle, but not as much, was still like, yeah, but not enough. And which is, of course, the same process, right, of the, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate was the one that started the whole, we got to deal with this, this is a problem anyway, you know. And when there was a shift in the body's experience, this was Friday and Monday, today, noticed a big shift. But there was this, like, yeah, but only about halfway, only, you know, I really wish they would just totally go away. Oh, I remember what was occurring to me was this sense of, this means I have to like this uncomfortable, almost painful sensation. Yeah. And what's occurring to me is that, you know, that awareness and acceptance and all that could be applied to the fact that I don't particularly like that feeling in my body.
Yes. That is mastery right there, Andrew. That's exactly what Michael and I were talking about, which is that we can always accept whatever's right here in front of us to accept.
Mm.
Right? I mean, there's a quote, actually. I don't want to say it wrong, but from one of Sherry's books that says something like, you know, if we find something that we're not accepting, we can accept that we're not accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in the process of accepting. So what you saw was right now, you know, this, I don't like this set of sensations. And, you know, there's a way in which we can say, who would blame him? You know, I mean, because I project those sensations have all kinds of fear with them. They have a story, they have a ha-ha, and so he doesn't like it. I mean, who could blame him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
then there's the what we can do is accept that I don't like this. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that's totally all right, completely all right. And what we don't know is if we keep going down that road of acceptance, and that's okay, and that's okay, and that's okay, what might shift from that? I mean, as Scott was describing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Mentioning Scott and with the good news, it was just so talk about mastery. That you know that idea that it's always talking to a younger part and this feeling of overwhelm. I just had this. I'm a software tester, and I had this image of somebody asking my daughter, who's 7, to test software, and how overwhelming and how ridiculous. You know, and yet in my own head, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning self, hey, saying to a 7-year-old Andrew, hey, you got to do this. Oh, by the way, looks like you don't have any clue how to do it, and on and on and on. It gets believed. It doesn't always get seen as ridiculous until much later.
So incredibly true. So we often talk about how really so much of the genesis of self-hatred is sending the wrong person in for the job. So, you know, there I am, I go to work, you know, doing software, and there's a, you know, 7-year-old being asked to do it. Or I'm, you know, beginning a romantic relationship, and there's a 3-year-old in there.
Yeah.
Or, right? I mean, this is not going to work. It just isn't.
Yeah.
It's just not how it works. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is how it is designed. Like, that's why my head suggests,
that's
hey,
why.
Let's send this person in. It's pick the
That's
person
right.
who couldn't possibly do it.
Precisely. And it really is what Scott was pointing at, I think, which is that essentially there is, if we take his content, there is a guy who knows how to approach that project
mm-hmm.
and knows that there's a step-by-step. We just need to find it. And I mean, boy, is that a joyful way to live, where, you know, you head off to work and you find the grown-up who is able to do it. That doesn't mean he's going to, you know all the answers and blah, 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 but he's the grown-up who is adequate to the process. Now, when it's time to play with your, you know, daughter, then you go out and you, you know, you find the 7-year-old who loves to dig in the thing for worms or whatever. I mean, that's great,
yeah.
But you find the right person for the job.
Yeah, and that happened today. I, you know, it wasn't like me trying to engineer it, but I just noticed life living me as far as the right person showed up and even enjoyed a job that at other times there's been a really strong story. It's boring and how could anybody like it? And the shift is wonderful. It's not the first time and it won't be the last. And just being able to show up in that way and even notice that that was happening to say, wow, there's this really, this situation that historically has been very stressful for Andrew and for other people. And yet it's being handled by something with just total serenity and even a lot of joy at a lot of times. So it was nice to notice that.
Really nice. And, you know, maybe to make a recording about that, right? To notice it. Because one of the things that I find that starts to be available is a sense of humor when I'm not feeling that way. So when I go back to that same thing, you know, the next day and it's not like that, right? And it's boring again. And to kind of go, okay, life, just if it's available, I could actually really use some help here because this feels really boring again. I really don't want to do this, and I'm pretty sure that there is a guy who actually likes to do this, and but I can't find him anywhere. So if any, you know, kind of just getting playful with it.
That does sound wonderful.
Yeah. So fun. Yep.
Thanks so much, Jen.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Thanks for calling in with that. Again, it's just so fun to hear different people's content, right? It's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
We're ganging up on it. We're really ganging up on it. Yeah.
I think we'll make it.
I think we will. I think we will. Yep. All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrew. And Jen, I was getting the same sense of that also, that we are ganging up on it, and that we I benefit so much from hearing everyone else's content and process. And what I was getting was kind of the, you know, the in-depth process of practice of showing up and looking
exactly.
and practicing
exactly.
and applying what I learn and seeing what I
yeah.
see then. And then the next
yeah.
thing opens up, and it's great.
Yeah, you know, the other image, as you say that, Michael, that I get is on Thursday, as we're all taking on our day, of just having that image of Sangha, you know, through the day. So then I have a challenge, and then, well, if Scott can do it, I can do it. If Andrew can do it,
mm-hmm.
I can do it. Michael can do it, I can do it. You know, really using each other's
yeah.
shoulders to stand on in that way.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It's just so mm-hmm. incredibly valuable and helpful
yeah.
to get that support from everyone.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Dan and Michael. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hey, Loren.
Hey, Loren.
Hi. So I'm in a set of Zen coaching right now, a set of sessions, and my coach suggested that I might call in to ask a practical question I had about recording and listening, and then
okay.
also to just share a wonderful experience that I'm having with one part of the new way that the new curriculum of coaching. And so she thought
oh,
that
great.
It would be fun to share
excellent.
That. So,
okay, lovely.
I guess I'll start with the question first, which kind of builds on what we've been talking about, what you were suggesting about the guide often, you know, asking people who are in self-hate about, do you have recording and listening? And one of the first times that I was ever in guidance with a guide, she kind of made a joke about how she projected that she could tell that I recorded more than I listened, which was absolutely true at the time.
Oh, that's funny.
I would uh-huh. make a lot of recordings, but mm. But not necessarily listen to them. And so I've worked on that. But one of the ways that the voices still get me is when I'm practicing, when I'm making the map, when I'm listening, it's like, oh, I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that. And then in the moments when I'm not actively doing that, it's like, oh, you know, I don't really get it. I can't access the information. I forgot it. And so this mm-hmm. Vague sense of confusion that kind of gets to take mm-hmm. over, that makes me feel like I have to start over all
yep.
the time.
Yep.
Like, okay, back at square one.
yep.
And so what I find is, and I've been practicing really diligently since the New Year's retreat, and I've been in two sets of coaching right in a row where I was seeing a lot about the process. But I now what I find is, even though I'm listening to recordings, I'm always just listening to the ones from recent days. And I hear all this stuff about how, I don't know, like people have folders and different
mm-hmm.
things that they list. And I don't have any kind of organization to my recordings, and I don't even know how to begin to organize them because I just have those like little Olympus recorders that just have A, B,
mm-hmm.
C, and D, and it's like
mm-hmm.
800 recordings per. So she
yeah.
said, you should call
yeah.
and ask. I bet someone could give you guidance about how to feel like I'm not always starting over and that I don't even know where to begin to look at a past recording because there's thousands of them.
Yeah, well, all I can offer you, Loren, is my experience.
Right.
And it would be fascinating. I mean, I actually, there was a good news update. Well, I'm trying to think right now. It's so funny. We were talking about doing it, and I know we did it in some form. And I can't remember, I know Ashwini was going to talk about it, and anyway, for this very reason, that I just think there's so much both process and content for the entire Sangha, I project, around what you're talking about in terms of recordings. And the process place that I've gotten to for myself, that place of feeling like, you know, oh God, I got to start all over. I always talk about it as reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Is for me, what I've seen is it's truly a process place. And that it's kind of like Scott was talking about, where, you know, he looks at those boards and it's like, oh, I don't know how to decide whether or not I need this board. I mean, how am I supposed to, as if he's never seen a board before, right? It's like mm-hmm. all socks in a washer, right? Just totally confusing, way beyond me, completely overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he disidentifies and it's like, wait, actually, I do know. I do have some, oh, right. You know, is it, I look down the end of it and is it, you know, does it have a crown? Is it warped? Is it, are there cracks in it? Mm-hmm. Are there, and suddenly mm-hmm. all that information floods in. So I'm going to project that, that can happen for you. So there's that confusion. And then there are other moments where you don't have that confusion, where there's just clarity. Would you say?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And that I also, again, this is total projection. So look and see for yourself. That for me, when I go through times where I'm doing a lot of recording and less listening, it's often because in the recording, there is that experience of the clarity. Because especially if I'm seeing something or I, oh, there's these insights or that sort of thing, in the recording, I'm speaking from the clarity. So I'm really experiencing that clarity. And then it's the kind of drifting off and the not so sure kind of areas where I'm no longer having that same clarity. So then in terms of the organizing, again, I've often wondered if we did a workshop on this, if it would break down along Enya type lines. Right? Okay, all the ones do this for their recordings and the twos do this. And the, I have no idea. But at any rate, at some point I realized, oh, well, I mean, I just literally have thousands and thousands and thousands of recordings. So I no longer attempt to impose any kind of structure on them at all. And I do have one set of recordings that's in a system that they can shuffle themselves. But other than that, I literally just let life shuffle them. So I'll turn on, you know, one of the equivalent of a little Olympus thing, just go to a folder and, you know, press around and listen to a recording.
Okay.
And what I find is it's such a good practice of listening, just listening.
Yeah.
Right? Because that in that listening, yeah. there's always something.
Yeah. I so appreciate you saying that thing about the recording because it is my experience that I think that oftentimes that I have a lot of recordings, I really am in the energy of clarity and insight and just being so happy to let this person like natter like we talk about sometimes. And
yep.
And one of the processes that's being revealed for me in these last two sets of coaching is that it is a fine line between, let me see if I can try to articulate this, but so, for instance, I have good student karma. You know, I have had it my whole mm-hmm. life. I do a lot of academic mm-hmm. things. So, like, I want to be good at homework and whatever. And so mm-hmm. sometimes I'll get a desire, like, okay, I'll make a commitment to go back and listen to recordings from the last week or two. And I think it's because there's some confusion, and I want to, and I have an authentic desire to break this person free from that. Like, no, you really did see some things, and we're going to listen to it. But then the voices come in and say, like, oh, that's just your good student karma. Like, don't, you know, you don't have to really go back and listen to things. You can be in the moment. And it's just like, it's so close. It sounds so,
yeah.
I don't know, it's so close
yeah.
to
yeah.
The authentic thought that was behind it that I just end up in this place like, is it okay to be in the moment and just making recordings, or am I not in my Yeah, then there's just a conversation about doing it right or not, and it's a very subtle place that I could probably practice with for a long time.
And, you know, what is so reassuring to me when I get in that place, Loren, is, I remember there's no way to do it wrong, and when
right.
I pay attention, everything enlightens. In other words, I don't know, actually. Like, for me, I can very much go to that place of confusion that I project you're talking about. You know, really, that, wait, what are we doing here? You know, and to realize, okay, again, it's what we were talking about with Michael in terms of coming up to April 18th. My only job, truly, in all of it, is to pay attention. Mm-hmm. I can't make that not happen, that process of, quote, confusion and, wait, what are we, you know, what's going on here? But I can pay really close attention. If that's what's going on right now, then that's what I'm going to pay attention to. So then do I record? Do I not record? Am I in the moment? I don't actually know. Like, it's, you know, for me, I've gone way past the point where life is informing at this point, right? I have no idea. So, okay, good. Flip a coin, A, B, or do whatever, but just pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I will just keep paying attention to this, because sometimes what drops in is, well, you have had these amazing insights in these sessions. Maybe it would be helpful if they lived in a place where you could find them. But then again, you know, that goes up against, like, is it really going to be helpful in the moment to find a specific recording or not when there's so many? And yeah, so I can see that it's just a thought that's there to keep looking at.
Well, and I'll tell you what dropped in when. Oh yeah, well, just one thing.
Ahead.
When you said that, when you, because that was a you voice, which is interesting. You know, well, you know, you have had these insights, so it might be helpful to have a right? So that's interesting. I mean, not that doesn't necessarily mean it's, you know, self-hate or that sort of thing, but you know, it is something to pay attention to. But what I just saw when you said that was sort of a response of, okay, I'm wide open, life. I'm not going to noodle it. I'm not going to leave the present moment to go try to figure out what that system is. But if you have information for me that could be really fun and helpful to my practice, just to let you know, I'm available for it. But meanwhile, I'm just going to be here in the moment. I'm not going to go leave to find it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see how that's really helpful. And I've already been talking a long time, and I want to go.
Well,
to that.
But tell us your thing.
Okay. So it's just so there's a place in the new way of doing Zen coaching where you read a process map to your coach.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
and I have that. This has been clear guidance from life for me. Like, no noodling about it. I have just wanted to listen to me read that map over and over again, even though a lot of the map is outlining, you know, suffering for the person and self-hate. Like, I've probably listened to it 4 times this week because I can just really, like, the compassion that arises from listening to me tell the story of what happens is just overwhelming. And I've had that experience on a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. But it's like, I just want to hear myself hear that map over and over again, because it's so clear that it's a piece of karma.
Mm.
And then
there's
this release and compassion. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It's such a perfect underlining of what we were saying, both with God and with Andrew, of why, you know, it's helpful that each of us looks at the specifics of how we're caused to suffer, not because we're solving those problems, quote,
right,
but because in that specific, that's the portal to that exquisite compassion for the human being who is stuck in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so well put. Why it feels different than the many other times, you know, because it is easy to end up in the place where you're trying to get to the specifics because you're trying to still figure out how to fix it. But when when you're interested in the specifics only because you see, wow, this is really set up to make a very beautiful, vulnerable person really anxious.
Yes.
Then it's just like, oh, I really want to be on to this. Thank you.
Oh, it's such a good commercial for coaching. It really is a good process. I love that new curriculum also. I absolutely do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Loren. That was lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you for your specifics.
Thanks.
Gasho. Right. Gasho.
Thanks for joining us, Loren. So looking at the specifics is the portal to get out of the suffering. Get out of the karma.
Yeah. right? Because yeah. it's that first step in just being present to it, just compassion, right? Wow, she's yeah. stuck in that. That's what she's stuck in, even though it's like, well, duh, I mean, I'm the one living it every day. But when we don't see it, because as Loren was just pointing out at the end there, because, gosh, why do I keep, you know, saying that to my boss? I need to, what I really need to do is I need to, and we're not seeing the yeah. process. We're so stuck in the what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jen, we're going to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Perfect.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Jen? Jen, are you there?
There I am.
Yes, there you are. There you are. I'm not sure what happened there. And
yeah, I don't know if it was true for other folks, but for me, the very tail end of the coaching announcement got cut off.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that was there. Yeah, this little system glitch there. But at any rate, it's all on the website if you want a Zen Awareness Coach. I think that was the bottom line.
Yes. Yes. Great. Thank you for that. And we have our next caller here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jen. This is Christina from Southern California.
Hey, Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
Great to have you.
Yeah, so let's see, about 2 weeks ago in the morning retreat, I had this insight drop in over the weekend, and it's one of those things that when I say it out loud, it seems really obvious, but I never really saw it play out like this. And so what it is so I do this thing that, you know, so let's say I make a commitment and I fall off of the commitment, you know, I get off the horse, and then I always had this belief that I had to start over again. And that, you know, every time you recommit, that, you know, that the process is linear, and so you're moving backward, and, you know, you're starting over again because you're trying to do it perfectly. And, you know, to do it perfectly, you've got to go back to the beginning and get everything just right. You know? And I never really saw it as clearly as I did when I was looking around the money karma. Because, you know, it was numbers, and so it was really easy to see how, for whatever reason, it highlighted for me that, wow, I do this with everything. And it just, it dropped in through recording and listening that actually you're not starting over. You're just here right now, and it's, everything's just fine. You know, you fell asleep, you woke up, and you woke up right here. And it's not the beginning, it's not the end, you know.
That is brilliant what you just said. You woke up right here. You woke up right here. Oh my gosh, that is so huge, Christina. Because what it puts, what it reveals, the lie that it reveals is that we could be anywhere but here. Oh, it's so brilliant. The story was, I fell asleep, and I woke up, and now I'm way behind again. I mean, it's almost like it couldn't even start in the first place, right? Because it was all wasted, and now I have to, And I project what's supposed to happen is by the time you finish that conversation, there's going to be a big, why bother, right?
Oh, here we go again.
It's too hard, and you're probably going to quit again. And, I mean, it's all for nothing. And But to realize all that happened was I went to sleep, and I woke up here.
Exactly.
And here is the perfect place to be.
Exactly. And, it was just so, and I could see that lie controlling my behavior. And it's not even necessarily what I do, but how I do it at so many different levels, right? Because when there's that little bit of, oh, yeah, I got to start over, and, yeah, that kind of wasted time, and I don't know if I'm really going to be able to do it again. You know, that's kind of a small background conversation that's defining how I'm approaching something. It changes how, you know, in some really small ways how I'm doing it. And it's really a setup. So anyhow, it was just great. And so I made this recording, and I haven't listened to it for a couple of days, but it's, you know, just to remind me, actually right here is exactly where, you know, where you are. And it's a great place to be.
Yes.
And, you know, you're awake, and and you get to see what's right in front of you, and there's nothing wrong. And, you know, it's because for the most part, that's how my life is.
You know? So right.
I feel really grateful for that.
Exactly. And think about, I mean, it kind of points out how heroic we are, really, because think of how many times you have persevered. So you make a commitment, you start on something, you start the commitment, you get however far you get, and then, you know, you get bamboozled and it stops, and then you wake up. And not only, you know, basically in order to keep going, we have to kind of, whatever the image would be, sort of dig ourselves out of that conversation in order to get back on track. And so with that insight, what you freed yourself from is having to do that. So it's not that we won't get bamboozled again. It's not that that won't happen again, but it's not a problem. It's not a reason for self-hate. It's not so there's nothing to dig myself out of. I'm just, here I am.
Yes, yeah. And it's not about me. Right? I got sucked into believing something about myself, right, that wasn't true, was never true. You know, that I had to be a certain way or do a certain thing, and it was never true. And so I can see it's just now the work is just repeating that process, you know, and life in its infinite wisdom. Because at the time I had that insight, I wasn't, like, the money stuff was actually going really smoothly. And this is, you know, I've been working on staying on budget for a decade. And and so, like, this time around, you know, looking at it, I'm like, wow, this is, you know, I really don't have a lot of stuff going on around this. And then all of a sudden, life gave me something, you know, that triggered the process.
On a
financial level, yeah, where
perfect.
I had that reaction,
perfect.
You know. And so, but I already had the insight, so it didn't hold me, I think, the way it might otherwise have. So it's just so brilliant how it plays out, you know.
It really is. I mean, it's so kind. It's so kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gives us what we need, you know, so it's like, no, I don't really, nothing really, and then, okay, let's give us something to work with here, right? And the other, put it into practice, give it a practical application, you know, and it would be easy to project if we wanted to make up a story that, I mean, that was such a huge insight that, oh, let's give her a way to actually practice with it.
Yeah.
Because that's an insight that, I mean, the whole conditioned system, it's like stuff that under the rug, really far down under the rug.
Yeah.
So if we get to actually put it into practical practice, even better.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly so.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful for the support.
The other piece I saw when you were talking earlier is just, again, how kind and compassionate life is with us, that that's the case, that when we wake up here. We don't wake up back there behind the starting line as conditioning would try to paint. We wake up here, and that's so kind. Like no grudges, no punishment, no, just here, ready to go.
I want to say one more piece about that, because one of the things that I think I fell for often was that, oh gosh, I think I just lost it. I lost it. I'm sorry.
The life is kind. No punishment.
Yes, no.
Kind,
no punishment.
No punishment.
When I hear,
no.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted, but I'll remember it at some point. There'll be another opportunity for it to come into focus.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. But thank you.
Oh, thank you, Christina. Yeah. It's just extraordinary. Yeah, that's one we can all take with us, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Gasho.
Gasho.
Thanks for joining us, Christina. And Jen, I particularly appreciated the heroic perseverance that was highlighted in that conversation, because it seems like that's what's required, and that it seems to me that awareness practice has a unique ability to pull that out of me, even when I don't think it's there. And that's really a miracle, actually.
Yeah, it really is. It really is, yeah.
And we have time for at least one more call here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Monica calling.
Hey, Monica.
Hey, Jen. Hey, Michael. I'm on a BART platform, so just let me know if it's too annoying. Let someone else try.
We can tell you're on a BART platform, but we can hear your voice perfectly.
Okay, great. Gosh, I don't know what to talk about because there are so many good things. I hardly ever call into open air. Well, one thing that I just had this image from the last caller, like of a baby who goes to sleep in the car and then they wake up somewhere else and they're never like confused how they got to that next place. And I always have to think about that with my niece. I'm like, what does she think? Like, she goes to bed at home, she wakes up at the beach. Did she know? Like, anyway, there was just something in there.
That is funny. I have never thought about that, Monica. That's a really funny image. But
or
as
your
say,
dog,
dog,
you know, sleeps in the car and wakes up.
Yes.
I
don't, you know, just going with that, because I think what you're pointing at is your niece was never seemed particularly fazed by it, right?
Exactly.
Just, oh, we're at the beach. And I would project, you know, if we were to kind of put the pieces together there, because she's with people who love her and she trusts completely are taking care of her.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. There's
right?
No, like,
so it doesn't matter where she is because she knows she's cared for and she's all right.
Right. I love that because that so ties into, like, yeah, I can't articulate how good that feels to hear, but something in that feels really, like, resonant with being with my human and you know, not leaving here to go out and, you know, figure out a problem that has no solution.
Yes, it really does, Monica. Wow, because I think we're essentially what Christine I project was pointing at was we're trained to wake up and feel disoriented and feel like, oh my God, where have I been and I shouldn't have and what happened. But what we can do as the compassionate practitioner is to be right there. Actually, I'm having to do this a lot with our 14 and a half year old dog, Sadie, who is now often disoriented. And so I've learned to get down. So she's very startled easily. She can't really hear anymore. And she'll be sound asleep. And so I get down right at her eye level and I just start to gently pat her head. And as she opens her eyes, I'm essentially saying to her, it's all right, I'm right here. I'm right here. And I feel like that's what we can say to our human as they're coming awake. Like, it's all right. I'm right here. You're okay. You're okay.
Yeah, I think it reminds me of something I think one of my Zen coach said. It's like, it's a difference between waking up into love and waking up into self-hate.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's so huge.
Well, I'm going to keep it short because now I'm on BART and I don't know what's going to happen, but I just wanted to do a commercial for the Start Meeting app because I'm really excited because I never used it before. And now I have at the ready open air, making a change, and when I do my virtual meditation. So it's just all
there.
I can just like pick the one I want right now. Oh, it's 5 o'clock on Tuesday. And then you just swipe and then you can get on that call.
Perfect.
And it's so awesome. I'm like always fumbling for the number and what's the code. And
right. I love it.
Anyway, it's really awesome.
Technology is amazing. So 4:30 tomorrow morning, it'll be easy to just find that.
Virtual meditation. Exactly. I'm not quite committed, but it's on my radar.
I'm with you, Monica. I'm looking at it. I'm letting life inform.
That sounds really good.
I figure if life wants me to do it, it'll wake me up.
It'll wake you up. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I won't set the alarm, but if I'm awake, and sometimes I am, then I'll jump on. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
Well,
thanks,
thank
Monica.
You guys so much. Thanks for being there. Thanks,
okay.
Everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Monica. That was fun. And Jen, I think we got about 5 minutes if we want to bring on one more caller here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. It's Jan in Fremont.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. You know, I don't even know what I have to say, except I am just so, I want to say amazingly grateful for Sangha, how it inspires, informs, the insights that come in from the morning show and this. I'm blown away. And so I just want to, it's just a big thank you call, I think, mainly. And also, I am going to mention one thing about what I saw about, this is just, it seems almost absurd, the self-hate, the process of that. A long time ago, Sherry had said, we can't, we don't really, I don't know how she said it exactly, have practice or can't really practice until we've dropped the self-hate. Something to that effect?
Yeah. Practice begins when self-hate ends, I think. Yeah.
Thank you. Practice begins. And I feel like I've had an amazingly wonderful, strong practice. And so I fell for the bamboozle that meant I didn't have self-hate. And what's happened from the year-long retreat and what we've been looking at recently, I mean, since the beginning, it's like a revelation. Oh, wait, it isn't like all or nothing. Like you get rid of it and it's gone and nothing happens. Because that's what it had me believing.
Yes.
And so I was missing. Oh, it just seems incredible. It's almost, conditioning is really embarrassed to say this. But
Well, I will tell you, Jan, just so you don't have to go there, we've been having that exact same conversation at the monastery. Like
well,
word
that's
for word.
Reassuring. That's reassuring because I've just been, it just has hit in the last few days, the deep level realization of that. And I'm just like, really? No. Is this possible? And then I just laugh because I'm inspired by everyone else and what they're saying and the same kind of thing.
Good for you.
And oh my gosh. So now my commitment is to make at least a couple of recordings about that, not to be forgotten or bamboozled again. Well, I'll be bamboozled again, but not on that particular thing, perhaps. We'll see.
And, you know, if we go back to Christina's thing, if she has this huge insight and then life gives her a way to apply it, we could apply that same thing and say, well, it didn't want you to be left out on April 18th, right?
No.
I mean, you need something to work with.
That's right. Well, now I have a lot to work with because it's been revealed that it's
perfect.
Been all this time.
I mean, because that really was, we honestly, at this last Sunday group, we were looking at just that. And someone in particular was talking about how liberating it is to see this whole level of self-hate that's really all over the place, but having been under the radar, and how liberating and important that is to see that.
Oh, my gosh, it's critical.
Huge.
It's critical.
Yeah.
And now, but this is the reframing that I'm choosing to go with this. It just means that I'm, you know, strong practice. It's that much more amazing now. It isn't that I've missed anything. It's that, oh, more light. I mean, this is it. Yeah. This is just more of the goodness that life's providing, the gift.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's a testament to, I really think this process that we're doing in the year-long retreat is unbelievable. And that it just, to me, the way we're cycling through it and the way we're learning process on a much, for me, at least, much deeper level is giving us access to things that are really hard to access any other way, I think.
Oh, well, that's been my experience, absolutely. It's just, you know, you think you've seen, well, conditioning probably thinks it's seen everything, but you've seen so much, how much more can there be? And it just keeps flooding in these, and thanks to Sangha.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and I just
thank
something
you.
As you said. Yeah, one other thing, Jan, I saw as you said that, because I think that's really, really perfect what you just said. So I always think of in that situation that supposedly the Buddha practiced until the day he died. And what I saw in that is the assumption when we see those layers of self-hate that we hadn't seen before is that they're mine.
Mm.
But maybe just as practitioners who are willing, who are basically committed to the very, you know, end, whatever that is, but, you know, we're staying with it no matter what. Nothing's pulling us off the job. That we then are just beginning, or we're continuing the process of just seeing the layers of self-hate. Maybe it's not my self-hate. It's just what's there. And since we're the people who are willing to just stay in the process, it's to us that it gets revealed at those deeper and deeper levels. And if it's truly not personal, then we're just the witnesses to all of it.
Wow. Thank you for that. That's pretty critical to the whole thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal.
It is so not personal. Wow.
Yeah. And we get to see that over and over again in all these different ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Jan. Another fabulous conversation and another fabulous open air.
Another fabulous open air. And Michael, it just dropped in to say that, you know, I hope we're not torturing people who might not be in the year-long retreat, but that it's definitely not, if someone did want to join the year-long retreat, it is not too late. So there is information on the website, and at very least you could email information@livingcompassion.org to participate in the process if you were so moved.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. There are a lot of opportunities, and we need to be reminded of them regularly to take advantage of.
Exactly. So happy International Day of No Self-Hate to you and to everyone.
Yeah, and go happy.
And go happy. Yep. Thank you, Michael.
Jen.
Okay.
Good
night.
Good night.